Oh yeah, we're about to get nerdy with behind the scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
What is happening, crew? Happy Thursday evening to everybody. Welcome to, of course, After Hours, where we talk nerdy. It is, June 13th tonight, probably, where most everybody is listening anyway, June 13th. We're a little bit early, but that's okay. Looks like the Thursday night schedule got kind of shifted around, jumbled around a little bit. So why not get this one started a little bit early? We usually go longer than an hour, and so that kind of helps. We can get into Daily Gun Show later, a little bit earlier than normal on a Thursday night. Going to talk about something tonight. Last week we hit on some motivational stuff and things like that. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about professionalism. I don't know that it's required. I don't know that it's something that has to be done in a lot of circumstances. There's a lot of channels out there that certainly they don't appear to put a lot of thought into details, and you know, as far as the business aspect of creating and influencing and things like that, they don't seem too professional with all that, but yet they do okay. So, you know, is it something that's as important as we might think? I don't know. We're going to discuss that, and we're going to try to run, instead of running things through the panel like we normally do, we're going to try to kind of have an open panel. Hopefully everybody can stay muted and not step on each other and that sort of thing. But before we get into that, we are going to run through and recognize the panel here. We've got the gun snob out there. What's up, snob?
Find my mute button. Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here. Hadn't been here in a few weeks, so happy to be here again.
You bet. Good to have you. That guy's wife is with us.
Hello, and thank you for the invite.
We've got Tar Dot in the house. What's happening, bud?
Oh, not much. Thanks for the invite.
Bit. Budget is with us. Batman.
Hey, Clover. Thanks for the invite. Love the show as always.
G-Webs made it in tonight. How are you, G?
Good. Thanks for the invite. Since it's early, since you're running the show early, can I say happy Flag Day early, a day early?
There you go. I guess so. Why not? That's one of your most beloved days, probably, as much as you are a stickler on the flag code, right?
Yeah, just a neat day. But yeah.
Do you run around and hand out tickets, like citizen arrest tickets or something on Flag Day? I could just picture you doing that.
No, not at all. I just think it's a neat day where we don't have to appreciate like the state or the military or none of the stuff. We just get to appreciate the flag and what it means to each individual and its melting pot and all that good stuff.
Right. Giz is with us. Mr. Gizzard, what's happening?
Hey, Glover, thanks for the invite.
And, they're at the last minute. Ghost snuck in. What's up, Ghost?
I'm looking forward to this one because I consider myself a professional. Maybe I can learn
something. Yeah, I think he said he considered himself a professional, but his microphone apparently is not very professional because it cut out. What'd you say? Are you there? Did he cut out for anybody else? He started out fine, and then it's like...
Yeah, he cut out for me, too.
His volume got turned, like, down all of a sudden.
It may have been because YouTube knew he was lying. Too much.
Yeah, that was strange.
Professional amateur, maybe.
Uh-oh. He's probably going to come back in. That's also good. We'll check it out. He may have a bad connection or something. And Bloke is with us. Bloke is kind of new to the... to the scene here. Met him over on the Full 30s. I think that's where I met him anyway. Welcome, Bloke. Mute button. You got to unmute. Maybe. Everybody else can hear me, right?
Yeah, Bloke, you just got to
unmute. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, he's muted.
Just got to unmute tap screen. It'll be on the next to the white buttons.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, thanks, man. Love the invite. It's wicked so far, learning a bunch of shite. Cheers.
You bet. So hopefully Ghost will get back, but until then, we'll jump into this. Before we do that, though, welcome on the YouTube side and as well the Gun Channel side over there. Everybody that's hanging out in the chat, being nerdy with us, as well as those in replay. Remember, if you have questions of the nerdy persuasion, by all means, throw those in the chat. We'll run those through the panel. We can talk about pretty much anything in that niche or genre that you want to. And if you're listening in replay, obviously you don't have a live chat, but you know what? The comments are down below. So definitely hit up those comments, start a conversation. If you've got a question, whatever, and we'll talk about it. We can get nerdy in the comments as well. So what I'm curious about, and I'm gonna kind of run this through the panel. I thought about this topic for a while, and I know that, you know, I look at some channels and I think, wow, they really run that well. They're really, you know, quote unquote professional about it. And then, you know, like I said, I see other channels that I don't think that about, and then I see people on some of these trade show floors, and man, they're just knocking it out of the park, you know, and it's, they just, with their appearance and their approach and their attitude and a lot of different things. So as far as what I want to run through the panel is your opinion on, you know, what professionalism means in this type of a space, in the creator influencer space. Ghost is back with us. Are you? You got a better connection now, hopefully.
Oh yeah, sorry. My wife was calling right as you said that, and she just got to Dallas, so I had to take that call. Sorry about that.
That makes sense. You started talking, and it's like somebody was slowly turning the volume down as you was talking.
Yeah. Right as I started talking, she called, and I guess the Bluetooth kind of took over. So sorry about that.
Right, not a problem. So yeah, we'll start back down on Snob's end with this, and as far as being a creator, an influencer, a podcaster, YouTuber, whatever in this particular space, when somebody says professionalism, what are some things that come to mind to you?
Politeness for one, and not just, you know, acting like a total jerk out there, you know, as far as like show floor and stuff. And then, I mean, there's almost a different level of professionalism when you look at new media, you know, social media type stuff versus others. I mean, I don't see too many social media people out there in suit and ties, you know, and all this. I mean, there is, but not like when you get to TV media types. But I think there's a level in between, you know, total just goofing off and then, you know, high end professionalism, like, you know, what you would think of as TV shows and all that. So.
That guy's wife, what about you? What comes to mind when we're talking professionalism?
Are we talking in the sense of our shows or in the sense of when we go?
In the general sense of being a creator, influencer, podcaster. Yeah. In the general.
I think being prepared, for whatever it is that you're fixing to do is a big deal. If I'm going to go and meet somebody, I want to know at least a little bit about them. I mean, I don't need like their full life story or anything, but I need to know a little bit before I walk up and start talking to somebody.
Okay. Tardot, what about you?
Really with me, it's kind of twofold. I mean, cause you know, the conversation comes up about people, how they dress, how you act, but really I think in the end is owning who you are and being willing to, like, kind of what that guy's wife was mentioning, you know, being able to go up and talk to the people before you actually do a video with them, or when you're going to shoot your content, know what your goal is with that video and be as professional about it as you can, whether it's comedy and the whole thing is just meant to be a big laugh, or if it's meant to be serious, just own up to it and know what it's going to be. And don't try to, I guess when I say own up to it, try not to, if you're going to do something funny, you're going to do a comedy bit, try not to be so serious while you're doing it. You know, just be yourself. Own who you are.
Budget, what comes to mind with you with the thought of professionalism in the space?
Well, I think that it's a combination of things to me. It's the be prepared. It's be genuine. Be courteous. Be polite. Be articulate. Be knowledgeable about what you're talking about. Be considerate of the people you're speaking with. Don't be a jackass. I mean, really, it's to put it in its simplest form, right. And to kind of boil over into the non-professional of it. Don't be a jackass.
Right. G Webs, what's your thoughts?
Looking for my mute button. So now, can you ask the question again? Everybody's been answering it, but I lost the real question.
Yeah, as far as in the general, when we're talking about being creators, influencers, podcasters, whatever, you know, what are your thoughts when, you know, professionalism is mentioned?
Okay, I don't know if it's a thing as much as putting dedication behind it. So, you know, doing it with intent and with a goal and a direction, as opposed to just drifting or experiencing or experimenting. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Kind of like, several people have mentioned it already, kind of like having that game plan down, you know, and executing said game plan.
Yeah, like trying to accomplish something other than simply participate.
Right. Gotcha.
Not that there's anything wrong with participating. It's just that, you know, what makes you a professional is when you've got a direction and you're working towards it. Each thing you do is a right. step towards that, as opposed to just a random dance or mm-hmm. experience.
Sure. I mean, and I mentioned that, you know, leading up into this question, that, you know, there are those out there that, you know, they, you know, do a lot of free for all maybe, or, you know, lobby type stuff. And there's a lot of random, you know, random discussion and random chat. And, you know, there's a lot of good ideas. There's a lot of good projects. There's a lot of good things that could come out of that. But, you know, and just kind of, I guess, kind of roaming around on a trade show floor and, you know, just kind of not being you're not really having a plan, kind of doing your own thing. I mean, can you accomplish things? Sure. I mean, I suppose that you can. I don't see any reason why you couldn't. But yeah, for me, I mean, I'll echo what several have already said, that, you know, it's having that mission in mind of, you know, this is my channel, my project. I need to get X, Y, and Z done. And then trying to get that done, I guess, as efficiently as possible too, is a big thing for me. Gizzard, your thoughts on professionalism in the creator space?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind your end goal, what you're trying to achieve. I mean, yes, you're trying to promote yourself, but especially if you're at a show, it's not all about you. You're trying to promote the people in the video. You're trying to promote the show in itself and maybe the gun community as a whole. So you've got to, you know, keep your focus on what it needs to be, make sure and promote what needs to be promoted, so you're not just putting programming out there, you're actually making way towards that goal.
Gotcha. Ghost, now everybody needs to get out their pen and paper and take notes, because as Ghost said, he is the professional in the room here, no doubt. So you definitely want to listen to what he has to say. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the professional aspect of what we do?
I think that you know, everyone has hit it right on there. I mean, being organized and all that. But I think it's two things, really, is passion. I think you have to be passionate about what you're doing, because if you're passionate about whatever it is that you're doing at that time, then you're going to give everything you have into that project or that video or that interview or whatever it is. It's just being passionate about your work. And then two, I think you have to own your space. And I think with that, you know, to me, what that means is if I am doing an interview, you know, I want to run that interview. I want to own that interview and run that interview the most efficiently way possible. If it's, you know, a review, whatever you're doing, own your space and don't let anyone distract you. Don't let anything kind of get in your way of creating the best piece of content you can. And it's hard at shows sometimes when people are walking through and bumping your camera and bumping your microphone. The best way to do it is someone like that happens, just go. Just keep going and don't let anything out in the outside affect what you're doing.
Right. Bloke, I'll let you jump in here, get your thoughts on, you know, what you think about, what you, your opinions and all of that good stuff when people talk about, you know, what we're doing here and the professionalism of it.
Sure, man. Well, the first thing I think about is it's all about delivery. So, you know, deliver your content in an honest manner. You know, like everybody else said, you know, organization, passion, be genuine. And, you know, when I say genuine, there's a lot of people out there just, you know, excuse my French, are just wankers. They're just not nice people. And I've run into a couple of them, but, you know, just get those people out of your life and move on. Constructive criticism. I'm very new to this field, so, you know, I'm adapt to constructive criticism. That's how I learn from my mistakes. And don't expect instant gratification from owning a YouTube channel. You're not going to get popular in a day. And then be serious about your channel, you know?
That's yeah, that was some good stuff. Yeah, totally agree. Now I've got a bit of an exercise because we are going to hit on this for those out in the chat on the YouTube side and the gun channel side, as well as those that are listening in replay. Again, that's what the comments before are for down at the bottom of this video podcast, wherever you're watching or listening. And, you know, what I want to throw out there, and I'll let the panel, I want to hit on another thing before the panel gets to this, but we will bring this up in the panel here in a minute. But for right now, this is for you guys out there in the interweb land. And what I'm curious about is as far as professionalism when it comes to a look, whenever it comes to, you know, in the panel here, we got a little bit of diversity as to what each of us do as far as content and stuff like that. Heck, I have it throughout my entire channel. I mean, sometimes I'm not on the camera at all, like tonight. Sometimes it's just G-Web style, where it's my hands. Sometimes, you know, it's out on the range, and I mean, you can see me. I'm talking to the camera, that sort of thing. So as far as dress is concerned, as a viewer, does that bother you at all? I mean, is t-shirts and a jeans just as good as tactical pants and some type of a button down? You know, whether or not somebody's hair is disheveled looking, I don't have hair, so I don't have that problem, obviously. Beards, trim beards, you know, bushy beards, wearing kilts in the case of Tardot. You know, when you're watching channels, I mean, do you look at the person and think, man, that dude needs to comb his hair. That dude really shouldn't be wearing those skinny jeans or, you know, whatever. Do you hold an opinion on something like that and maybe that turned you off of a channel because of that at all? I don't know. I mean, that's a question we're going to get into with the panel. But the first one I want to get into the panel with is sort of the attitude. And I'm going to preface this by saying a lot of people mentioned basically, you know, don't be a jerk. And I do agree with that. There was a lot of be nice, be passionate. I do agree with all of those sentiments that were echoed. But, you know, a lot of times, I mean, we're, you know, we get together and we, I don't know, it's the, we were kind of talking about it in pre-chat a little bit. It's where you get into the huddle and all your hands are, you know, put all the hands in, right? You've got some kind of chant or cheer before you take the field. And we sort of do that before shows, trade shows and stuff a lot of times when we get there. We meet up in the media room and you know, kind of get everybody psyched and that sort of thing. And part of the conversation is always to go crush it, man. You know, go into that, get on that trade show floor and just own it. You know, we say that a lot with the live streams and the content and what people do when they start channels. It's like, just get out there and on it. I mean, act like you know what you're doing. Act like you are a professional, regardless of whether you think you're a professional, somebody else thinks you're a professional or not. have that get it done attitude, right? Have that attitude that you belong there. And I think that, I don't know, I think maybe there's a fine line between having a little too much of that and it being arrogance and it being a healthy mix. But that's where I want to go next with this, is that professional attitude. And again, I mean, as long as we're not stepping on each other, I encourage the panel to jump in whenever they need to. But I'll start down on the end with Bloke with this particular topic. And, you know, where do you find that line with Bloke, with, you know, having a little bit too much attitude, maybe? Well, I mean, first of all, I guess, do you agree that you do need some type of attitude, at least a little bit?
Well, I think when you say attitude, I think confidence comes to mind.
You there you
confidence.
Go. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, arrogance is there's no room for arrogance. You know, I work in the medical field, and, you know, some doctors, they're arrogant. You know, they haven't had any bedside manner. But I mean, I wearing scrubs all day, I come home and then I go out to the range or go out to the shoot and do my video. I wear a pair of jeans and a shirt. So, you know, I think when you mentioned, regarding what to wear professional wise, it's all about your fan base, you know, because if you try to conform to something you're not, then you're not really being genuine. you know, from what I've learned is, you know, having your confidence, you're going to make mistakes. I made thousands of them, but it's not how you fall that you're judged on. It's how you get back up and continue on with what you've learned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ghost, what about you? What about that fine line between Bloke made a really good point. I couldn't find the word there. The line between arrogance and confidence.
Well, I think confidence is the key to life in any way, not just in creating media, but if you're not confident on a day-to-day basis, you're going to get run over by people your whole life. So having that little edge of confidence is great. But as far as the communication and all of that stuff, I think that one of the most important traits that anyone that does this, especially if you go to trade shows or industry shows or whatever, is being able to read people pretty quickly. If you walk up to a booth or you walk up to somebody at a show, you need to kind of figure out very quickly, are these guys like serious and they're not the joking around type, or are these guys the ones that like to crack up a little bit and have fun? And you need to be able to alter your disposition compared to what they are. If you want to connect with them, you almost have to play the role that they're going to play, and you just need to be able to read people pretty quickly. So I think that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm. Right. Kind of be that chameleon, in other words, in a way. Gillard, yeah. What about you? You're full of arrogance. We all know this.
Yeah, that's me all over. But in the line of work I am, you know, phone support at a power plant where there's hundreds of workers from all over the world, you have to be able to adjust yourself up or down to the level of experience of somebody. So you learn to be adaptable. And kind of echo what Ghost said, that's kind of what you got to do. When you're doing your thing, you've got to be able to communicate with people at all levels and stuff like that. And you've got to know when to talk, and you also got to know when to listen.
That's a really good point. What's the old saying, that God gave you one mouth and two ears for a reason, I think?
Yeah.
Something along that lines. G-Wabs, what are your thoughts on the, you know, arrogance versus confidence?
I mean, I guess just so that I'm not just saying the same things over again, not everybody's got the same goals. And, you know, you can be a professional and your goal, you know, Armenthea's goal isn't to achieve perfection and then show that professionally to other people. Her goal is to professionally let people follow her experience, right? And your exploration through learning about guns or whatever. So, confidence and that kind of thing, it's nice, and I imagine most people get it. I don't think it's a prerequisite, and I personally don't think it's a necessary thing. You can be truly honest and you can be professional as all get out and have absolutely no confidence and no right, like, you know, no professionalism, and I shouldn't say not professionalism, but no you know, ability in that realm. Now, it may not appeal to everybody, but again, everybody's goal here isn't to be emulate the whoever big person you want to emulate. I think that one of the best things about the internet is the democratization of dissemination of information, and that means all the flavors and nuance and interests that we each have individually, we can share. We're representations of hundreds, if not at least dozens, if not hundreds of people out there. You know, whatever weird thing I'm into, or whatever, you know, old thing you're into, or whatever military thing Ghost is into, there's going to be other people that are out there. And we're, you know, the persons that we're talking about, the people that are creating content and sharing, I don't think they all necessarily need to be super confident. I think that there's plenty of roles for people that are in every level of confidence, you know, whatever the spectrum is, like, you know, to be participatory in the conversations and in the community, because well, we've seen what can happen when someone is willing to say, I don't know, that allows, you know, new conversation and all kinds of collaboration.
Right. Well, and it takes a certain amount of, I don't know, it takes a certain amount of gravitas. I don't know that you're right. I don't know that competence comes into that to be one of those people that's able to say, you know, I don't know this, but, you know, let's, and we're coming to budget next. So I'll let budget hit on this. But, you know, he says, you know, and quite often in his videos that maybe we'll learn something together. So, and I think that's a very professional way to sort of have confidence, I guess, in a way to maybe show confidence, though, you know, you really don't know anything. But I'll let Budget kind of hit on that. Go ahead, Budget.
Well, I think that above all, be honest. Above all, be genuine. Don't try to be something that you're not, or don't try to be someone that you're not. Now, that being said, you have to believe that you belong there, because if you don't believe you belong there, no one else will. But at the same time, you have to recognize that you don't know everything. I mean, that's why I begin and end all of my produced content with maybe we'll learn something together. It's because I'm very well aware that I'm not the guru. I'm not, you know, I don't know all, be all, have all, understand all. I'm a flawed human being, and I'm learning stuff. And as I learn it, I'm sharing it with people. And I think that's, you know, I'm not, yeah, I've said before, I'm more snactical than tactical, right? You know, I don't, you know, this is a journey for me, and I'm sharing it with you guys. That's how I see it. And that's, you know, but at the same time, you know, you have to, I think you have to have a certain amount of that confidence. You know, you have to believe that you belong there, yet be humble about it. Right. If that makes any sense.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, humility is something that, you know, we have not brought up yet, but I think that, yeah, I think that plays into sort of what Ghost was getting at earlier. I mean, you've got to, you know, I think there's a time and a place for a bunch of different traits or attributes or whatever you want to call them, be it, you know, I don't think there's much room for arrogance, but, you know, there are certain situations that, you know, I don't know, I'm not convinced a little bit of attitude and arrogance is not warranted. You know what I mean? Tardot, bring you in on our topic here of, yeah, attitude, arrogance, confidence, just, you know, I guess, I don't know how we approach things.
Well, and I know it's kind of been hit on a lot and said a lot, but it really, a lot of it comes down to confidence in who you are and what your channel is about. You know, especially when we're working trade shows, if you're going up and talking to somebody about your channel, have, like we've said, had that goal in mind and be confident about that goal. So when you go to talk to this person, you can explain what you're doing, what's the whole purpose to your channel, or you can explain what your channel actually is. So have that purpose in mind and have that confidence in the goal that you have. And along with that, it's something that kind of falls into the arrogance line a little bit, but maybe not as much, is don't be so arrogant to think you can say anything you want and everybody will agree with you, or everybody will fall in line and let you, you know, represent their company, for instance. Mm-hmm. And when I say this, it's not just, you know, everybody's going to agree. It's everybody thinking that running around cussing on all your streams or your shows is going to get people, you know, you may get the viewers, but you may not be able to pull in the companies that you want to work with, possibly. Mm-hmm. You can't really just run around and have that type of attitude and think you can just do that and you're going to get everything you want along the way. So it's a combination of all of the above. Yeah. At times arrogance is going to be fine. It's great. It helps, you know, maybe build your character a bit, but there also has to be your time where you're humble about what you're doing and you listen to the criticism maybe that's going to be coming your way. You know, whether it's how you handle your channel, maybe it's some of the things you say, it's going to come from companies. It's going to come from viewers. You just got to be able to have all of these aspects at the right time.
Right. Yeah. And that's something that we are going to touch on. We can't segue to that just yet. Got a couple of more on the panel that I want to get to, just in case they have an opinion or an idea, thoughts that we haven't touched on yet. But yeah, with the competence thing, I think that there may be a difference between there's certainly, you know, what do you have competence in, right? And if it's in yourself, that's going to be a little bit different. I think everybody can have competence in their project. If it's like we've talked about before, where, you know, our mission is clear, is well thought out, you know, our plan for our channels, our brands, our podcasts, whatever it might be, are well laid out, and, you know, and we see that we're serving a particular niche, filling a void in the community, whether it's getting information out or, educating people, whatever it might be, that we can have competence in, I think, in those projects, even though that we might not have, the most competence in ourselves. And I don't know, I think in a way one can actually feed the other. Now, G-Webs, you said that you could think of one reason where arrogance would be, or one place where arrogance would be necessary. You want to follow up on that?
Sure. Yeah, you can't. There's no time for just to doubt in your own talent, your own reason to be there. I want to hesitate to say arrogance, because that implies like an unreasonable mm-hmm. opinion yourself, perhaps. But at least not to question your validity when you're at an event like the Range Day at SHOT Show or something mm-hmm. similar, where there's a finite amount of time, and you know, time is the ultimate resource. So finite amount of time with maybe a firearm or a person. So maybe there's someone that you want to interview. You're at a rally, somebody you want to interview and you want to get their voice out there, and they're hemming and hawing with some guy who, you know, is might be a nice opportunity for that guy to chat, but you've got a camera and you can have a jib jab with that guy, and it can go out to a couple of hundred or more people, can get shared and get some reach. So that's where I'd like to see people have some confidence and shove their cameras in places where, in a media day type of thing, you're going to want to compete with other channels. So get in there. And then a thing where it's just somebody might not realize that the clock's running out, they're probably going to get into a car and go to eat dinner or something pretty soon. You know, get in there with your camera and get that interview.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of where I brought up that was, you know, a more eloquent and detailed way of explaining what I was talking about earlier when I said, you know, with the attitude that you have a lot of times,
like going in a more professional way, you could say.
Yeah, right. More professional way of saying it, sure. When you're going into these trade shows and different meetings, whatever, you know, you're covering or whatnot, that, you know, having that attitude or whatever, that you do belong there, that you know, you're just as important as the next guy, you know, is very important. Snob, bring you in, let you finish up what we're talking about here on the whole arrogance, competence, attitude, that sort of thing, and then we'll move on after you.
So One thing is, don't talk down to your audience, because they very well may know more than you do about the subject you're speaking on. Mm-hmm. And I think confidence is very important, as long as you're not a know-it-all about it. I think you can, you know, have the confidence without the ego. And then I want to pick on Gizzard Gary for just a second on this, because he gave me a prime example of this the other day whenever he was talking about it, and he was talking about Full 30. He wrote Full 30 back saying that he felt like there was other channels out there that deserved a channel on Full 30 more than he did. And I have to disagree. I think he deserves it just as much as the next guy. And he kind of, you know, he's too humble almost in that. So I'm picking on him.
Right.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. And they, I don't know. That's a different, we won't get off on the whole Full 30 thing right now at this particular juncture. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. Now, Tardot brought up something important there, I think. And I think that speaks to professionalism a little bit. And that's, you know, how do we deal with criticism? And how do we deal with, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to broaden this a little bit. I'm going to ask, you know, how do we deal in a professional manner? You know, or is there even a professional manner to deal with not only criticism, but, you know, you also have, you've got outright trolls out there, right? Those people, I don't know, the professional manner in which we deal with them. Yeah, I do want to touch on that as well. And then you've got, it runs the gamut. It runs the gamut from, you got constructional, is that the word? Yeah, constructive, I guess, criticism, all the way down to things that are borderline to stuff that obviously cross the line is just people out there, trolls being trolls. So, you know, what's the professional thing to do in that situation? Is, you know, is there, do we need to be paying attention to how we deal with things like that so that it is consistent with everything we're doing? Snob?
Yes, in a way. I mean, sometimes they're just not even worth dealing with. Just kind of ignore them or delete them or whatever. You know, normally I don't delete anything unless it's got swearing or, you know, something stupid in it. Mm-hmm. But as far as just, you know, sometimes I'll respond, but I'm usually not snarky, and I just respond politely and say, okay, you know, I'd love for you to show me or something.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times that thank you, you know, it's like, thank you for watching.
Sometimes. Yeah, a lot of times I do say thank you for the view or something like that, you know, and the interaction.
Right, right. So, you know, this hits on, you know, as far as the comments go, this hits on a little bit of what was already talked about, too, in that, you know, sometimes you get that criticism, and then sometimes, you know, it comes because it's very fair-minded. I mean, it comes because you did a video and you didn't mention something. And I find myself all the time, you know, it seems like I produce something, I upload it, and then after the fact, I'm like, you know, I really should have mentioned this. This didn't cross my mind, you know, and somebody will bring it up. So I know one thing I've done that potentially can curtail some of the criticism. Obviously, it won't curtail criticism with, you know, the production quality and things like that. But as far as the message, you know, the content itself, that can curtail maybe some of the trolling or criticism or whatever, is to actually put something into the content, which I've done lately, that is, you know, asking a question to the audience. It's like, hey, am I forgetting something here? Is there something here that I don't know about that I need to know about? Do you know something I don't know? You know, hey, the comments are below. Let's, you know, put them down there. Let's talk about it. You know, and I don't know if that opens more doors for trolls than it does an actual conversation, but I like to think that potentially could open the door more so for good productive conversation than anything. But we've got to be willing to take that, you know, I don't know, with a certain grain of salt, I guess, or whatever. And we got to be able to distinguish between, which is hard to do in written word and in these social medias that we all work with. Everything's meme culture and text based. It's kind of hard to get sentiment and sometimes context and things like that in the written word, which sort of sucks. But want to move on to that guy's wife. And yeah, talk about, you're fairly new at all of this, but, have you had to deal with any, criticizing comments, being that they're constructive or just outright trolls or anything like that? And how have you dealt with those?
I get comments quite a bit, maybe asking me, especially with my holsters and stuff, why I would wear a holster a certain way, or maybe even talking about they might would try something a little different with my stance or something. And sometimes I defend what I've done and they come back. A lot of the times it's not, they come back with I wasn't criticizing you. I was just sharing my opinion. And then they're all about like, you go girl. And I mean, it usually starts off like they're criticizing me, but it tends to turn out that they're very supportive of what I'm doing. So I've not had just the out hatefulness yet.
Right.
So
that must be nice.
But since you skipped me a while ago.
Did I skip you?
You did.
Did I?
You did. Okay. On the confidence thing.
Yeah.
With that in my videos and stuff, and you were talking about the dress and the messy hair and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. With my particular channel, I think because I'm after a different type of audience, I'm a middle-aged woman, and I want women that are like me to see me in all aspects of my life. I want them to see me with my makeup, eyelashes, all that crap on. And I want to see them with that messy hair and just, or the days that I've got our grandkids or whatever. I want them to know, like for my Instagram, and because we've had that discussion that my Instagram isn't just me shooting, it's my entire life. And that's simply because I want people to know that I am a normal, average person. And yes, we can do this. It's kind of an encouraging thing saying, hey, look, there's nothing super, extraordinary extremely, talented or whatever out there about me. I mean, I'm this average person just like you may be. And mm-hmm. If I can do this, you can do it.
Right.
So anyway.
Now Blitz out there hitting on the troll stuff says trolls aren't constructive. So it's important to recognize a disagreement versus someone just being a troll. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, it really gets into being able to read people. And unfortunately, that's kind of what we're talking about. Sometimes being able to read people. I've had people in the comments that I've ended up getting a little snarky with because I kind of read it as they had an attitude. And I got a little snarky with them, but they come back and they explained in detail more what they were talking about, because they tend to go in and just like really short form type comments a lot of times. And it's like, if you're gonna put something out there, if you've got a problem or if something's inaccurate or if there's something to be added to the conversation, then take your time and do it. And they don't. And then, so I kind of call them on it, being kind of a smart aleck, and then they'll come back and then we have a productive conversation, three or four different, comments back and forth. And it's a very productive conversation after that, where as just on the surface, you're like, these people are just trolling. And no, they weren't really. It just, they needed a little more engagement. So Tardot, I'll move to you, with trolls, constructive criticism, that sort of thing. What's your thoughts on dealing with that in a professional manner?
Well, I generally, when it comes to a lot of the criticisms I get, whether you would consider it constructive or not, I usually try to have some kind of response to it. And I try to be as professional about it as possible. There's always some comments out there that I get some snarky ideas to throw back at them, but I generally try to keep it a little more tame and try to actually think of it as they're not intentionally coming at me with some rude criticism. It just kind of, you know, I'm misreading it maybe. So usually I try to come across like I'm just answering a question, maybe telling them I hadn't thought of that idea or anything like that. Now, as far as trolls, I generally will allow troll comments on mine, and you know, I'll just generally respond with thank you for watching the video or something along that line. But there have been a few times where if I get comments that it's violent, it's cussing, threats, because we've had a few of them between me and Gunpowder, mm-hmm. Just different things like that, I will actually go in and start deleting comments at that point. If it's something that really doesn't need to be out there because it's mm-hmm. probably something that little eyes shouldn't see, considering we have kids, and I know sometimes you'll have younger people watching the channels, and it's just disrespectful in general to have right. out there.
Yeah.
I'll go in and start deleting those comments. And other than that, the only other thing that I may actually delete on occasion is when I get links thrown in there that are just people trying to promote something that has nothing to do with the conversation. I'll generally go in and start deleting comments. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's just usually trying to keep a conversation going. And I've had a few of them where just off of somebody giving me some criticism or asking a question, I come back and there's been times I've had conversations in my comments last for days. You know, we'll throw one comment out there and the next day I got a comment back from that same person and we've got a conversation going for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Same here. Budget money. I'm going to bring you in, but before I bring you in with your opinion, you know, Tardot brought up something there with deleting comments and, you know, whether it's live chat, I think in this particular instance, I think we're talking about comments, you know, under the video or under the podcast or that sort of thing. And on the podcast platforms and stuff like that, I haven't really had the need to do anything there. But as far as YouTube, I certainly have. I've actually had to on Full 30 too. Full 30 has no tools really to deal with any of that stuff. But with YouTube, you have some tools at your disposal, and there's a reason you have these tools. Is because it particularly not so much with you know, getting a channel strike or something like that, although it could happen, but your monetization can certainly be affected by what's going on, what's being said in the chats, not only the live chat and unknown user. We actually validated that a few weeks back on this show with something he put in the chat out there. So what's being said certainly can cause issues. And one thing that you can do to sort of hedge against that, especially if it is, you know, the language, the cursing, racial slurs, things like that. And it's a little bit uncomfortable sometimes to do that, but you can go into your channel settings and you can actually set filters in there and certain words that will catch that. It will not let those things post until you have reviewed them. So when you're talking about, like I said, curse words, sexual innuendo, racial slurs, maybe things like that, type all of those out in that list. And sometimes that'll help. That'll help you kind of keep the nonsense curated a little bit. But Budget, I'm going to bring you in on this idea of dealing with comments, criticism, trolls, that sort of thing.
Well, how I deal with it depends. I mean, it's going to depend on what I perceive the context is, what I perceive to be what I perceive to be the intention of the comment. If it's something that I feel is genuine constructive criticism or a suggestion or a question, you know, about, you know, why did you do it like this? Why didn't you do it like that? Or something like that. Something that's legitimate. I leave it alone. I'll engage with it. I'll try to answer the question and start a dialogue. If it's basically something like, you suck, or if it's a personal attack, like, holy cow, you're fat and stuff, which I've gotten comments like that before. I pretend I'm Thanos and I make them disappear. They're gone.
Right.
I will go in and I will, not only will I delete the comment, I'll block them from the channel.
Right.
You know, I also have, as you were talking about, the filters set so that certain comments, certain words, certain phrases trigger the computer to withhold those comments until I manually approve them, which generally, if they're on that list, I don't.
Right.
But so, yeah, I tend to be pretty ruthless about that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. You know, I don't know. It affords us a certain amount of entertainment a lot of times to play around too. And there's a lot of joking and things like that. I don't know. I don't know what you've got a lot of.
It's different. If, say, Midnight or Obnoxious or Snob, right, or somebody were to come into my chat or my, even one of my comments and say something like that, it's different because I know that from them,
right,
it's you know, couple guys ribbing each other.
Here's the question.
Some strange, like, I got one really, you know, I've gotten some really bad about stuff like that, and it's like, you know what, dude, I don't know you, that's not appropriate. I'm trying right. to foster an environment where people can discuss and talk about things, not run each other down and attack each other. So bye, Felicia.
Yeah, with you know, the question with that is, okay, if it's people that you know that are coming in and there's that ribbing going on, I don't know, have you given any thought to the fact that viewers after the fact or don't necessarily know that?
I will generally go in to the comment and kind of leave a comment of my own alluding to the fact that, all right, man, love, you know, alluding to the fact that there's a relationship gotcha. There, you know what I mean? Gotcha. So that anyone who does watch it will get the context.
Yeah, we've been down this road before, or you know, yeah, I'm going to come in and troll your channel now, or, you know, something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. So I'm going to break G-Webs in on this, because G-Webs does some videos every now and then. He's been around the block, of course, and he'll do actually videos answering comments. Being a bigger channel, I mean, I don't know, his comments may get kind of out of hand, and so he's just, at some point, do you ignore them, or how do you kind of deal with that, G-Webs?
All right, so the original question was dealing with trolls, I guess. Now you're asking me with just the amount of comments dealing with them?
I mean, how do you, yeah, I mean, if you, obviously, we're talking about setting filters, and Tardot was talking about deleting comments, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, who you engage with or don't engage with. But after you become a bigger channel and you start getting, I'm sure there's been cases with you, if it's not that way currently, I'm sure it was before, where you get more comments than you can deal with. So it's not so much dealing with the comments, but dealing with specific comments. Can you even pay attention at some level to what's going on?
Yeah. See, again, it's a tough one to answer. So, mm-hmm. you know, just if you asked me about YouTube, I started in 9. So it's 10 years worth of stuff, and it's not consistent over 10 years. We know the platform changes, dramatic things change, like the ability to do the video, what they used to call them, where you tag each other in videos. I wasn't sharing them. I forget what it was even called anymore. But we could attribute a video to somebody else and they could tag it. And I can't think of the term for that anymore. But, you know, it created and fostered a community inside of YouTube that was unique and temporary. So I'm going to take a step back. So in other words, I can't even answer the question just in YouTube. So instead, I'd like to take a step back, bigger perspective. I started out with the computers back in the olden days, and then I worked at AOL. So I remember having to deal with this kind of stuff at AOL, totally different thing, much smaller internet, fewer people using it, much more direct contact with the user because you logged into AOL. You didn't hide from AOL. They literally were your presence on the internet. So back then there was trolls, MySpace, the forums. Whoa, anybody that used a forum, talk about a difficult, negative environment. But let's go back even bigger perspective, because we all know the YouTube and the Facebook version of all that. But editorial, letters to the editor, editorials, a zine that would pop up, maybe a counterculture thing or like an anti-political thing, something that might come up locally in a school to be snarky or, you know, rude in a constructive way about a politician or some slight that was happening to people that were underrepresented. We live in a country where that's part of what we do. So let's not suggest that it's a current thing or it's a new thing. It's something that we are free and we have First Amendment and we have the right to challenge people's, you know, in a civil way. So I think there's value to it. And I think that it's something that's been around a long time. And I think it's something to our detriment if we look at it simply as a negative. It can be an opportunity. Now, unfortunately, fast forwarding back down and looking at YouTube specifically or just all the platforms now with the nature that we've got, I think that it's important to look beyond. And if your project, if we're talking about being a professional and your project is going to be around and you want it to either be something that you can leave behind and be proud of or something that you can show to others as you start to grow and share, you know, and you want something that you can be proud of, keeping all that in mind, I'm often one to suggest that the individuals that participate in your projects are more valuable than the numbers that you can accumulate as far as a platform or a subscription number or number of views and all that. And, you know, if you're going to have a certain amount of time to devote to your project as a professional or a prosumer or just a hobbyist, or just someone who casually wants to share some information once in a while, the amount of time you put on the negative is on you. So, I can't tell you enough that you can dig yourself down into that, mm-hmm. and you can focus on it, and you can be kept behind like one of the boots that the police will put on your car when you park wrong. Like, you can just let that stuff tie you in place, or you can take it for what it is, you know, constructive sometimes, pointless other times, desperate cry for help sometimes, desperate need for intervention other times. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, something that could be completely ignored and overlooked, addressed, you know, when necessary. It's one of the resources you have available to you. It'll grow like all of your other opportunities and burdens as you get larger. And the more time you spend on the negative, I think the less time you're looking at the goal and the future and looking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. So AJ out there, he threw out a super chat, says no question or anything. Just wanted to say thank y'all for what y'all do. Hashtag breakfast tacos are great. And yes, I would definitely agree with that one. I want to mention also that's Adam Jimenez, just depends on who you talk to as to, you know, how they pronounce his name out there. But yeah, he does have his little 2A challenge, which is a great thing out there to get people started. And so what he did, he kind of challenged everybody to just do a little video as to what the Second Amendment means to them. So if you're out there, heck, if you're in the live chat, YouTube side, Gun Channel side, or you're listening in replay, we'll get on the social media, take that challenge put out by Mr. AJ and throw you a little video up on what the Second Amendment means to you. Gizzard, gonna jump over to you now. There's no way you've got that many haters and trolls to have to deal with. I just fail to believe that, but I'm gonna ask you the same question that I guess I asked everybody else though.
Well, I don't know about haters so much as just the people who like to ridicule, especially on my shooting videos and stuff like that, all the way from the people who are genuinely trying to help, you know, you need to try this grip, you need to do this, you need to do that, which I generally, you know, thank them and sometimes take their advice to heart, to people who either tell me I have no business carrying a gun, I'm a, you know, some sort of idiot. Had one guy left a comment once, he said, honestly, if you can't get a 6-inch group at 15 yards, with a 9mm, you have no business carrying a gun whatsoever. So I looked at the guy's channel. He didn't have any videos up at all. So I just put a comment back at him and said, well, thanks. So I said, I'm looking forward to video seeing, you know, of you showing us how you do that. And I never did hear any more from him after that. So right. Sometimes if you can handle it in a classy manner, and if they let it go, then you've won that battle. At other times, they're just flat rude and vicious, and you just wax them at that point.
Yeah, and I found that sometimes, no matter, you know, and this, sadly, this applies to whatever the comment is. There's a very, and I don't know, I mean, anybody on the panel is welcome to chime in and their thoughts on this real quick. But it seems like just about any comment I get, it can be talking about the video, it can be asking a question, it can be, you know, it could be a troll comment, it whatever, that the percentage of people that follow up if I reply to that comment is very, very low. So, you know, they go in, they'll drop something, and it's like they've totally forgotten about it after that point. It's like, the live chat, obviously, like we're seeing here on YouTube as we're doing this and over at Gun Channels, that's a different story because we're seeing it. We can respond. We can react. But, you know, sometimes, it, you know, it may take hours or potentially days, right? And, you know, you'll reply to that comment, and then you never hear anything back from them. So it's like, okay, did I make them mad? Did I run them off? Or did they just oblivious to it, which I think is probably the latter. So that makes it a little easy to deal with stuff too, because they're just looking to drop a bomb, I think, a lot of times, and walk on, you know, and go on. So just let them drop their bomb. You know, if it's an acceptable to stay in the comment section, leave it. If it's not, then, remove it and, you know, maybe go about your business. Ghost, I know Ghost, he's the most, hated creator on Reddit, so I'm sure that they have threads on Reddit devoted to trolling his comment section. So
formerly on Reddit.
Right, formerly on Reddit, that's right. So I'm curious as to here's how he deals with a lot of this stuff. Go ahead, Ghost.
I mean, I think the most important thing you have to do is drop the ego at the door. You cannot take your ego into comments. I think that if someone's being constructive, you thank them. You take it to heart. You might actually learn something. If it's a troll, I'm one of these people right here. I will never delete a message, and I will never block anyone from my channel. I could care if they want to troll. I don't have to acknowledge it. Let them troll all they want. It makes no difference to me. I've been blocked for actually giving constructive criticism to another channel because they're putting out not only unfactual information, but dangerous information, and I've been blocked from their channel. So I will never block anyone, but I think you have to drop the ego. And if you are getting trolled, I do a lot of what Gary does. Not only will I sit there and say, hey, thanks, I'd love to see your video, I'll actually challenge them, and I'll actually throw it right back in them, and I'll say, you know, you very well could be right. I challenge you to do a video that blasts me, that tells me where I'm wrong. And if you challenge them, most people, you know, they're not going to do anything about it. So you kind of call them on it. And I've actually asked people to come on the show. Hey, absolutely. You might be right. Why don't you come on the show and we'll you know, have a discussion. You never hear from again. So you have to be willing to call someone out. You have to be willing to lose viewers, subscribers, whatever, for trolls. But I'm not a big believer in blocking or deleting. I think it's freedom of speech. You know, let them do it.
I did that once. What you did about challenging them about it. I had a guy comment on one of my hatchet videos about how my axe safety is the most horrible thing he's ever seen, and I'm lucky that I'm not cutting my leg off, and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, well, I noticed that your channel is pretty empty there. Why don't you show me do a video on proper axe safety? That way I can learn something, and I'll link to it, and everybody that watches this video can learn something. And I got death threats from it.
Nice. Yeah, that's not professional, right? Bloke, let you get in here. I know it's been a while since we came around to you. yeah, get your thoughts on dealing with comments, positive, negative, constructive, non-constructive, whatever.
Sure. So I haven't been in the field for that long, so I think I've only got like one messed up comment. Mm-hmm. And I just said thank you, and I corrected his spelling. And that was about it.
That's always a good poke in the eye, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, the way I see it is, you know, if you focus so much on the negativity, you lose an efficiency in trying to get better. you know, I'm still very young, so still learning as far as the gun scenario. But something to ponder on. I mean, I did make a mistake, and it was my mistake, but he didn't have to be rude about it. But, you know, and I said thank you, and I learned from it, and it was a good situation in my accuracy. I never heard from him again, but I did learn something tonight with the YouTube filters. I had no idea about that.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, thanks. I appreciate it.
You bet. That's, yeah, that's why we're here. That's great to great to know. So, yeah, you never know what you may learn. Hopefully we don't get dumber in the process from doing these, but yeah. So I think we're gonna call it with that. I think we've covered a lot of ground. I think that everybody out there watching, listening, both live and in replay, I think you'll realize that, you know, the panel here, even though it's diverse, even though the projects are different, even though everybody is kind of at a different level with what they do, and they're involved in multiple projects and multiple aspects of social media and advocacy and awareness and lots of other things, that, you know, I think we all have similar yet different views when it comes to professionalism. But I think the major points, hopefully at this point, have shown through the points of, you know, confidence and maybe a little bit of arrogance, a little bit every now and then when it's warranted, and humility and things like that certainly make a very big difference. So I'm going to start sweeping the floors and cleaning up, picking up chairs, doing all that good stuff. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to run things through the room. Let everybody give the plugs to those channels. If you're out there, if you're in the live chats, if you're in the replay, then definitely check out some of these channels, see what's going on. You might find that that content is something you've been missing all these years. You never know. So yeah, we'll start on your end, Bloke. Thanks for jumping in. Hopefully you'll be able to jump in more often. I know this was a first time for you, and we enjoyed having you here. Go ahead, if you would, plug your channel and your projects and all of that good stuff for everybody. Uh-oh, did we lose him? You there, Bloke?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I pressed the wrong button. Say what now?
Go ahead. Just plug your channel and your projects and the things you do. Go ahead and give your self-promotion plugs there.
Oh, you know, just a simple channel, learning about guns and safety and paraphernalia about that. And, you know, going on a journey. The main idea is... we're trying to raise awareness for children with disabilities. Both my wife and I are occupational therapists. And the money that we get from this, once we get monetized, we're just going to donate to charitable funds that are decent enough to put the money to good use. And that's about it. And then as far as everything else goes, it's a learning experience, but it's a lot of fun so far.
And what platforms are you on?
Right now, well, with your help... I'm now on Gunstreamer. I didn't know about that one. I'm on YouTube. I'm on the forum for 430. And I just did the Patreon thing. Don't expect to get anything on that yet. But, you know, it's neat, an idea. And hopefully if I do get bigger, then, you know, who's interested in my content, they can always help support it.
Right.
And we do monthly giveaways every single month. Just for the advertisement and just for kicks and giggles.
Cool. And everywhere it's a Bloke's 2 cents, right?
Everywhere. I think Twitter kind of dumbs it down. I think it's like 2 cents or something like that. But I'm sure if you put in a Bloke's 2 cents in Twitter, you'll find me there. But I honestly, I don't go on that much because I don't know how to operate it that well.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Great. Armand Naxos throwing out a super chat out there. So it's fun hanging out with y'all, the panel and the chat. So thank you, sir. Yeah, always fun on Thursday nights, I think. Ghost, give us your self-promotion.
Yeah, get to the range, guys, and become more proficient with your firearms. Be that everyday warrior. Most importantly, try to take someone new. We all remember how it was when we pulled that first trigger and the adrenaline rush. And if we can get people that are at least open to the idea of firearms to the range and teach them a safe, fun way to shoot, maybe we convert them to allies instead of enemies. And that's how we spread one person at a time. So get out to the range and turn the camera on. Be part of the solution. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Gizzard, give us the bird, man.
Yeah, give him the bird. Check out my website, gizzardgary.com. Tomorrow night, Foul Territory, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And then Sunday morning, the Early Bird Chat at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. So hope to see everybody there. Once again, thanks for the invite.
You bet. G-Webs, got any projects, anything going on? Obviously, Daily Gun Show, tomorrow's Free Patch Friday. Outside of that, you've been doing some awesome interviews. Anything we got to look forward to?
No, they're kind of on hold now for a bit, but I like to promote individual freedom and liberty. You could have the best seats in the house, most comfortable bleacher seats to watch whatever happens in 2020, or you could get in the game, get in the conversation, be active at almost any level, and have influence in what goes on, and be an inspiration for whoever little kids are looking at you. Are you playing video games and chatting on the computer all day? Or are you contributing to the future with the tools that we have available to us? Thanks for shows like this. I appreciate the invite.
Bet. Budget, you're up, bud.
First off, thank you for the invitation. Always love this show. It's great for those of you that are new to it. Keep watching. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, it's a great place to learn the ins and outs and the nuts and bolts of running a social media project like this. Speaking of social media projects, you can find mine here on YouTube at Budget Guns and Gear Reviews on GunStreamer, GunTube, and HugeTube as well. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as Budget Guns and Gear. Gosh, what else? I do a live stream every Friday night now at 11 p.m. Eastern called The Right of the People, where we use the first to defend the second. So those of you who are listeners to the show, just remember tomorrow starts the 11 p.m. edition of that as I start afternoon shifts and don't get off it until 10:30 now. So there will be no 7 o'clock version for the foreseeable future. It will be at 11 p.m. Eastern on Fridays. Thanks for the invite, Clover.
You bet. Tardot, go.
All right. Well, thank you for the invite. And of course, check me out at Tardot357 on YouTube, GunStreamer, GunTube, Twitter, Instagram, Mines, Gab, BitChute, pretty much everywhere. Of course, you could just go to tarpowdermedia.com and that would just give you easy access to everything. And you can also find Gunpowder Beauty stuff there too. And don't forget about Gun Gals this Sunday. I believe they got Celtic holsters on this Sunday, so make sure to be there and check it out.
Very nice. That guy's wife, what you got coming up?
Well, I don't know what to say now. No. check out That Guy's Wife Media, YouTube, thatguyswifemedia.com for my website, Instagram, That Guy's Wife Media. Again, Celtic Holsters will be with us. Scott with Celtic Holsters will be with us on Gun Gals Sunday night. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be freaking awesome.
Cool. So,
thanks.
Snob, what you got?
Oops, wrong mouse. Yeah, I'm on all those platforms that everybody else is on, I think. And not all of them Tardot's on because I'm not that cool. And check out everybody else on the panel. They have a lot better channels than me. But, yeah, go check out mine. And thanks for having me. Enjoyed the show. And I'll have a live show this Saturday, even though I haven't had one in like 3 weeks. But I promise I'll have one this Saturday. I'm not doing anything.
Awesome. And so. Yeah, good deal. And thanks to all on the panel for coming on. As far as what we've got going on, always mention CloverTac.com. Same as most have said here, go to CloverTac.com. Get access to all the different social medias that we're on, whether you like podcast or video or reviews or interviews or whatever it is. We do a lot of different things. From there, here in a few hours, the Fire and Friday podcast will drop. Got Tony Simon from the 2A4E diversity shoot is who's going to be on deck for that. Was a great conversation and opportunity to learn more about him and the projects, the awesome projects there behind enemy lines in New Jersey that he's got going on. Also, the special edition that we do every month, the live version of Fire on Friday, is going to be tomorrow night. We've changed the time on that to better suit the Friday night schedule for everybody, since there was a little bit of shuffling of time slots, it seemed like. So the live version of Fire on Friday, you definitely want to come around for that. That will be Brian Conley from Hunters HD Gold, who makes some very awesome shooting glasses, eyewear. So you definitely want to be around for that. Bring those questions. And if you want to be eligible to win a pair of $369, yes, I said $369 shooting glasses, that it's easy enough. Just jump over on the CloverTac channel over there on Full 30. Got to, we're doing that giveaway specifically through Full 30. So you got to go over there to the channel there, find the giveaway video. It'll give you the rules. I promise it's simple and easy to do. From there, if you've been following on Instagram, then you know that we are literally hours, days, I don't know, hopefully not weeks away from having fiber optic internet here. Contractors have done all the work. It's just a matter of them basically getting out here now and actually plugging in the service, more or less. Hopefully that'll happen within the next few days. When that happens, the game is going to change a little bit as far as upload schedule, as far as the amount of content that's going up, things like that will definitely change, because I won't have crappy internet anymore. As far as these live streams, they will hopefully in some way, shape, form, or fashion become a little more prevalent as far as uploading them to podcast form for those that may be listening in replay. Yeah, that's going to happen too. And the style will change a little bit. I mean, we'll be able to turn on cameras and screen share a little more and do things that we weren't able to do before because the country bumpkin internet here sucked. So that's coming. It's happening. I know I've been promising that for a while, and other channels like to do that. They like to tease you with what's coming, and never give you what's coming. But yeah, I can tell you, if you go over there, if you look at the Instagram, you can see they've got the wires run. They've got everything but hooking it up. So it's going to happen. With that said, we're going to get out of here, and yeah, we'll catch you next week. Till then, stay nerdy.